You would take your Bible and open it to 2 Corinthians. We are on the cusp of a new year, and so I thought, with that in mind, you know, new is always a good thing, right? New day, new start. Who doesn't like a new start, right? New start is always associated with a fresh start. Fresh being the optimum word, that when something's new, it's fresh, it's unmarked, it has potential, just like spring day. Spring is new time of year, and it always has potential, just like the new day. Every new day, when you wake up in the morning, has great potential. Every day when I wake up, I thank the Father for another day, to draw breath, and you'll hear me pray that often, but I'm seriously thankful for that every day, for a new day. And there's just something about things that are new, whether it be, you know, baby. New babies are cool. Who doesn't like new babies, right? Or puppies. Who doesn't like new puppies or kittens, right? Anything that's new. How about a new job with a new promise for better pay, or maybe a new place to live, a new environment, new home. How about a new car? Who doesn't like a new car? A new car smell, right? You got that new car smell. Everybody talks about that. How about new shoes? Everybody likes new shoes, right? As long as they fit well. Of course, Sue bought a couple of Skippies, and they don't fit well, so they got to get returned. When you put on a new pair of Skippies, which are a little kind of sneaker, little girl sneakers that my wife wears, and when you put on sneakers, new sneakers, tennis shoes, they should be comfortable the minute you put them on, right? Otherwise, no go, right? So new shoes, anything new. New is always good. And we are on the cusp of a new year, so again, 2000, if you can believe it, and 15, the 2015th year of our Lord and Savior. It seemed only yesterday that the world was talking about Y2K, right? The year 2000, and so much has happened since then. The world, of course, hasn't gotten any better, and I don't expect that the new year holds the promise of a better world, but as children of God, we have much to look forward to, and that's what I want to spend a little time looking at with you. And this is not a new teaching, even though these are new things, and that is the title of the teaching, All Things New. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man or any one be in Christ, he or she is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of the renderings of this give it as ancient things are freshly made. The word all is omitted in the text, in most of the texts, because not everything becomes new, does it? But things that are freshly made, come on. Who doesn't like a fresh batch of cookies? Right? Fresh apple pie, freshly made, whatever it is, right, is always good, isn't it? You know, like stale, old stuff, right? New is always good. And once you're a Christian, once Christ is in you, all those ancient things are done away with in light of that which is freshly made. Verse 18, and all things freshly made, because the word new is in, or the word are, is in italics there, but it's emphatic, it's a figure of speech to bring you back to the verse previously, which said, all things are new, all things become new. And all things that have become new, all things that are freshly made, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. all things have become new. To start with, reconciliation. To be reconciled means to be brought back together. To be reconciled means to be brought back together after being separated. And humanity, mankind, was separated from God in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. With their disobedient act, man was separated spiritually from God. And when you get reconciled, that's a new day. That's brand new because you were separated before. Look in Romans chapter 5. Skip down to verse 10. If when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. That's a new day. That's a new thing. Before you were reconciled, you were an enemy. You were God's enemy. God was at odds with you. That's not the case anymore. That's an old matter. The new matter is you have reconciliation. That is a sonship right. Once you get saved, born of God's Spirit, you are reconciled. You are reconciled. I don't know what that was, but you could... Was it? Oh, the phone. Baby clam Chris's phone. That was a strange noise, wasn't it? That was a new noise, wasn't it? New for me. Once you're reconciled, that's new. Because you weren't reconciled before. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this may not be a new concept to you, but it sure would be a good idea to embrace it as new for the coming year. Or the rest of the day, for that matter. Ephesians chapter 2, and if you would skip on down to the 16th verse, that he might reconcile both, Judean and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Jesus Christ's life, ministry, death, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension into heaven has made both the Judean and the Gentile of one body. Those of us, of course, who accept him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. And once you made Jesus Lord in your life, you were reconciled, brought back together, and that enmity that existed before between you and God was no more. That's an old thing that's gone. It's a thing of the past. It's ancient now. For you have a brand new relationship with God. You are reconciled. Colossians. Two books to the right of Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians, and the first chapter. And down in the 22nd verse, or 21st verse, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? Reconciled. Now we forget that there was a time in our lives when we were alienated from God, when we were enemies in our mind. You talk to people who are not Christians, and there is an anger, a separation there when you talk about God or Jesus Christ and salvation in that. There's a wall that's up, and there's a defensive anger there. It's gone. For us, it's gone because we've been reconciled. We've been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You, as a Christian, as a child of God, are unblameable and unreprovable and holy in God's sight. Imagine that. Now, we don't often think of ourselves that way, and not to get too high and mighty, that is the way God sees us. That doesn't mean that we should forget that we were once enemies and sinners, alienated from God. You all know what an alien is, right? We have been brought back together to God by the death of his Son. We have new spirit life and are now holy, unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. Unreprovable means unimpeachable. Sometimes we like to see certain individuals impeached. I know I, for one, have seen individuals over the course of my life that I thought were impeachable, but we as Christians are unimpeachable. Isn't that awesome? And that's brand new. That is a brand new reality. That is a new thing. New from the time that you got saved. Look in 2 Corinthians again, back in chapter 5, where we were previously. Chapter 5. This time go to the 19th verse. We are reconciled, and not only are we reconciled, but God gave us the service, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20. Well, verse 19. To wit, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, that is, put in us, the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have this ministry. Now people don't understand what a ministry is, but they think a ministry is always, you know, some Christian organization, some church, some reverend's activities and responsibilities, but we all have, each one of us as children of God, have a ministry. You have a ministry. And that ministry is a service. You know what a service is, right? Because the concept of a service seems to have been lost today in our culture. Service seems to be something that hard to find. But when you do find a service, aren't you happy? Doesn't it bless you to find a service in whatever field it might happen to be? First of all, it's very rare. And secondly, it's always a blessing, right? Well, we have, each one of us, we have the ministry or the service of reconciliation. That we act in Christ's stead. He's not here. He's ascended into heaven. So we, that is to say, you and I, have to act in his absence, on his behalf, to bring back together those who have been separated from God. We have that service given to us, and the word for it is put in us. So you don't have to worry about what to say. You have the right words to say. When you meet a person who is separated from God, you have the right words to give them to be reconciled. Now, they may or may not accept those words, but you have them. That makes you very important. That's new. You did not have that before you became a Christian. That's a new thing. Now, the knowledge of this may not be new to you, but it's as new as the day is new. Because the Word of God says that the mercies of God are new every day. His mercy is new every day. And so every new day is another opportunity to exercise our rights, our God-given rights as children of God, and to recognize the fact that we have been reconciled, made holy, unblameable, and unimpeachable in his sight. Look in Romans 4. Ambassadors for Christ. I can assure you, before you were saved, you were not an ambassador for Christ. I know I wasn't. Maybe you can think back to your youth and some of the things that you and your friends would promote and be ambassadors for, right? We shall leave those things nameless, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are chuckling and smiling. And it's true today. You see people today, they're hawking some of the most awful things, aren't they? And boy, are they enthusiastic about it, right? I just saw this thing about Colorado. Man, are they enthusiastic about pot. Wow, you think it was the greatest thing since sliced bread? Ignoring the fact that it does brain damage. And especially in young people, it does developmental problems. So You don't realize it, though. See, if your brain is turned into soup, you don't know that, do you? You don't know anything because your brain is not working right. So when your brain doesn't work right, you don't know it's not working right because it's not working right. But boy, are they enthusiastic. I mean, they're pushing it. They're hawking it. Same thing with magic mushrooms. I saw this, I guess you call it a news reel, news clip, where this interviewer went to Colorado to interview people at this mushroom festival. And some of the mushrooms, of course, were the kind you cook with, and some were medicinal. But some of them were the kind that have psilocybin in them, which is a hallucinogen. And there were some of these people that were hallucinating, talking to the interviewer. They were mindless. But boy, were they enthusiastic, just pushing that. Well, we're ambassadors for Christ. Ought we not to be at least that enthusiastic? Shouldn't you be as enthusiastic about moving the things of God as you were back in your youth, moving the things that you now would like to forget you moved? Right? Absolutely. Romans 4, verse 24. Verse 23, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, since we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our what? Justification. You're justified. That's new. You had no justification before. Oh, you know what justification is. It's making a case for why you are right. That's what justification is. That's what people in the world do all the time. They try to justify their bad behavior by pointing to somebody else's bad behavior. Well, that's not true justification. We didn't get justified. Our bad behavior in life, our sinful nature wasn't justified because of somebody else's bad behavior being worse than ours. Sometimes Christians do that, you know. They want to judge somebody else's sin because they see their sin as worse than their own personal sin. That's not what justification is. God justified us through the sinless blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we have a case made for us, a legal case made for us that makes us right in the sight of God. We are justified. Some people have said, and I've always liked this, it's just as if you've never sinned in God's sight. And so we have that. That is new. You did not have that before. Your behavior before you got saved was not justified. Now you have justification from that bad behavior. I know. We're not talking of us here, of course, you know, just figuratively speaking, the rest of the world, right? Now, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And anybody who says otherwise is a liar and deceiving themselves. Look in Romans 5. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified, and therefore we're at peace with God. You know, the world and people of the world, they're fighting with God all the time. They're angry at God. They blame God for things. They do things to defy God and to mock God. But we're at peace with God. He's not mad at us. He loves us. He's justified us. Look down at verse 8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified. It's not a future event. You're justified now. Your righteousness isn't a future reality. You're righteous now. Your reconciliation isn't something that's going to take place in the future. It's happened. It's a present day reality, but it's brand new every day. It's part of all things that are new. Justified by his blood, we will be saved from the wrath through him. And that doesn't mean the wrath's called off. God's righteous judgment, that's what wrath is. We've been saved from that because we've been justified. That's a legal term. It's legal, just like in a court of law. It's absolutely legal, only it's God's law. And God's law stands above man's law. And in God's sight, we have been justified. But that's not true for the rest of the world. There's a day coming that will be the Lord's day, which will be called the day of wrath of our God, when God's righteous judgment shall rain down upon everyone. And you don't want to be in the number that stands before the great white throne and has to give excuses for why they rejected Christ. So anybody you know and love, you would want them to stand there alongside of you, justified, saved from the coming wrath. Because it's coming. The wrath is coming. Look in 1 Corinthians, if you would. First chapter this time. One book to the right of Romans. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Verse 30 says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Sanctification, that's another thing that's new. Wisdom is new too. Oh, have you ever noticed how unwise the world is? Good grief. Stupidity reigns. Today it's worse than ever. I just read a headline in the internet. In fact, it was this morning, where the new generation, the millennium generation, is not capable of fixing things. It's incapable of fixing things. And boy, that's bad news. You know why? Because they're the next one to be in charge. They're the generation that's coming of age that will be in charge. They're the ones that don't like the way things are today, but never show up at the voting booth. They're the ones that do anything but the right thing. And, of course, not everybody in the millennial generation, but in a general sense, they can't fix anything. That's even true of the generation before them. They walk around, their lives are broken. They're broken people. Their cultures are broken. Their behavior is broken. Their families are broken. Society is broken. And there's only one way it can be fixed, one way and only one way. And it's found in the pages of God's holy writ. It's found in the Word of God. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the only way anything gets fixed. You can't fix a broken life any other way. They can't fix it. And now you have an entire generation of people that can't fix anything. Imagine that. So there is an answer. And that answer is among these things that are new, that both you and I have. And one of those things is sanctification, which means to set apart. You are set apart for God for all eternity. Well, the rest of the world is not necessarily in that same state. So we need to exercise the wisdom that God has given us to help those who are not set apart to become sanctified along with us. Look in 2 Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the 13th verse. "We are bound to give God thanks always for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." God in his foreknowledge knew that you would believe. I just, this past Christmas, saw a few things that I found unusual. One was this, they do these big midnight masses in that, and one of them was they were speaking of prominent leaders in a certain denomination, speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ as a mystery, Speaking of the baby Jesus as if he was still an infant, and singing a song, and I can't remember the name of it, it was in Latin, but the song was talking about the announcement, the birth announcement, meaning the birth of the Lord. And I couldn't help but think, didn't you read your Bible where the announcement was given to shepherds in a field? It wasn't sent, Gabriel was not sent to the religious hierarchy of the day. He wasn't sent to the political leaders of that time. He wasn't sent to the wealthy and prominent. He was sent to these shepherds tending over a flock of sheep on a hillside somewhere. What announcement? It was just to those guys, and then they in turn went and told others who did the one thing that was not found in the religious hierarchy. Believing. No faith. The one thing that wasn't found in the governmental leaders of the day. Believing. No faith. The one thing that wasn't found in the wealthy and the prominent. No faith. They didn't believe. Where did God find it? In these shepherds on a hillside. And just the same way he found you. He knew in his heart of hearts before you existed that one day you would believe. And when you did believe, you were, as we just read in verse 13, you were given salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Why? Because you believed the truth. That's why. And all things were freshly made in your life because they weren't there before. New things. Things that became new. Things such as sanctification. You weren't set apart for God before. You were set apart for destruction as far as the adversary was concerned. Now you're set apart for eternity. Look in 2 Corinthians again, this time chapter 5 again. Should have had you put a marker there, huh? Verse 21. For he, God, made him, my Bible reads, to be sin for us. That's an incorrect translation. It should read, for he hath made him the sin offering for us, or the offering for sin, who knew no sin, that we, here's why God made Jesus Christ the sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So don't you ever let anybody tell you you don't have the righteousness of God. It was paid for. You're bought and paid for by the precious blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has made us righteous. Therefore, we need to act that way. Don't want to act the fool like the rest of the world. Look at how they act. Their behavior is deplorable. The things they say, the things they do, the things they promote. You and I have been made righteous. Let's act that way. Well, how righteous? As righteous as God. Now, that's a huge concept, isn't it? Now, that may be not in your flesh. In fact, it isn't. But it's in you spiritually, in spiritual reality, in your life, that gift of Holy Spirit that God placed within you is as righteous as God himself. Well, you can't get any more righteous than that. Philippians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9, Apostle Paul counted everything loss but gain for Christ. And it says in verse 9, to be found in him. Here's why. He counted everything as dung. Everything in the world as dung. To be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law. You know, how you act, how you behave. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We can't forget that. You don't become righteous because of your actions. God made you righteous because of Christ's actions. And you, through faith, have accepted that. So now you can act righteous because you've been made righteous. You don't act a certain way and are made righteous. You act in a righteous way because you've been made righteous. You've been made righteous through grace. And so you can act righteous. I can remember, even to this day, when I was raised in the Baptist church, that I never felt comfortable because there was always this sense of how you're acting, how righteous are you? And if you died in a sinful state, which could be any time, right? Then you would, that would be it for you. And so it was like walking on eggs. You can't live that way. You can't think that what you say, do, and think is going to affect your righteousness. Because if you try to live that way, you will never live a righteous life. The only time I was ever set free in my mind to live and act in a righteous fashion is when I realized it wasn't my behavior, my actions that will earn me that. Because it's not something that was earned. It was something that was freely given. It was given to me. It was brand new because I didn't have it before. And you can't earn it. So there I was, like walking on eggs. And finally I got to the place where, you break eggs when you walk on them, right? So I said, heck with this. And I stopped going there. I just couldn't handle it anymore. Couldn't handle the guilt of that. You can't live that way. You cannot live the way religiosity would have you to live. Unless you don't mind being a hypocrite. If you don't mind being a hypocrite, well, then it's not a problem. Because then you can live a religious life and act like, you're so godly and everything. And then once you leave the general vicinity of people who are observing or watching you, then you can act any way you want around strangers, right? Or when you're alone. And that's hypocrisy, and that's what religion breeds in people, because you can't live up to the religious standards of people. Just be thankful, be blessed that you have a new life in Christ. And any day you decide to step out on it, that's a brand new day. It doesn't matter how you acted yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You only have the present. And I remember hearing more than one person talk about the present in the sense of, well, it's a gift. Well, what do you do with the present? You receive it and you open it, right? You open that gift. It's a present. Today is the present. Today is a new day. Open it up. Open the gift of a new day. Forget yesterday. Open the new day. And you know what? Lord willing, there'll be another present tomorrow. And another one after that. For a new year. And when you enter the new year, it'll be a brand new present. So however you acted yesterday, there's no bearing on how you act today. Step forth on it. Be blessed. Because all things are new. Every day. Brand new. Look in Romans again. Chapter 3 this time. Back to Romans. Chapter 3. Verse 22. The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter who you're related to. Doesn't matter what culture you came from. Doesn't matter what ethnicity or race or gender you are. Doesn't matter how tall or short or skinny or fat you are. Doesn't matter if you're good looking like me or not. All have sinned, it says in the next verse, and come short of the glory of God. Because the righteousness of God is not by works. It is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all. The long, the short, the tall, the fat, the ugly, the beautiful. All of us, man, woman, and pedestrian, each and every one of us, are, if we believed, made righteousness. Because we are, verse 24 says, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. That's brand new. When you redeem something, you buy it back. You buy it back. We were sold into bondage. Bondage is slavery. In slavery to the world. In slavery to sin. In bondage to the adversary, the god of this world. We were sold into that situation by Adam and Eve's transgression way back in God's garden, at the very beginning, when the earth was new, and all on it was new and beautiful, and it was paradise. Way back then, when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God in the garden, we were sold down the river. But we were bought back. See, because there needed to be a price paid to be redeemed. You cannot redeem something without a price. Redemption requires a payment. And that payment had to be blood. That blood had to be sinless, perfect. And that blood was the blood of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. You've been redeemed. The moment you got redeemed, it was a new day. Walk in that redemption. Look in Ephesians again. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness of sins. So don't walk around like in guilt, in sin. And if you think you sinned someday, hypothetically that should happen to you, although, you know, present company might be excluded, just ask for forgiveness. But be genuine and serious about it, because you can't fool God. So ask for forgiveness, and you'll receive it. And you start with a brand new slate all over again, because God is wonderful that way. Look in Galatians. Well, look in Romans 8. But you must hurry. Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 15 this time. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We had that. We were in bondage. Bondage to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, the last times of the Bible, there's only two ways to be placed in a family. Same like today. You could be placed in a family by adoption, or you could be placed in a family by being born there, you know, biologically. Either way, you're in that family. And in the last times of the Bible, the adopted child was actually in a better situation than the biological child, because the adopted child was always one that was wanted. You know, sometimes there are what they call unwanted, quote, pregnancies. They do happen. But with an adoption, you go out of your way to get that baby. You go out of your way. Adoptive parents give anything to have a child. That's why they adopt them. And they're the most wonderful parents there are. So that's why the King James translators chose the word adoption. But you and I could put sonship, because we're literally placed in God's family by way of his spirit. So we have that divine nature born within us. That's why it's called born from above. You've heard people talk of it as the new birth, right? Because you're born the first time biologically, but the second time your heavenly father placed his seed within you. So you are his child, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, oh, Father, my Father. That word Abba in the Estrangulo Aramaic is the most intimate of terms. Oh, Father, my Father, Abba, Father. The only other place you read about that is Jesus Christ himself talking to the Father. And if children, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, there were children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. last place I want to go with you here, considering being children of God, is 1 John chapter 3, which we've actually looked at this verse repeatedly over the past month or so. And I do find it so significant because it's something we need to think about. You know, you could walk into the day and never think about this, that you're a child of God. But if you do think about it, you might take a different step in the day. Your tack during the day might be totally different if you wake up in the morning and realize that God has chosen you to be His son, to be His daughter, to be His child, because He loves you, and that He's given you all these new things. And again, this may not be a new teaching to you, but the minute you decide to put this stuff to practice in your mind, in your heart, and in your life, it will be a new day. That I guarantee. Because it's a rare thing where we have learned something years past and continue to walk out on it. We begin to forget. It begins to grow dim unless we're reminded. And we begin to act according to the way we're interacted upon by the things about us. And the things around you can rob you of these realities. It's the simplest of truths. It's the most wonderful of truths, that you're a child of God. And if you're in Christ or Christ in you, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. You are freshly made. Freshly made. And all things that are freshly made or new are of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Just some of these new things: sanctification, peace with God, righteousness, redemption, made holy, sons and daughters of the Almighty, reconciliation, justification, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, given the ministry of reconciliation, saved from the coming wrath, having full access to God, being unblameable and unimpeachable in His sight, being holy in His sight, receiving remission and forgiveness of sins, being made acceptable, unreprovable. And look, 2015 awaits for you as a child of God to claim it, and claim it the way that God has made you, to claim it as a child of God, because the day is coming when we may not now appear what we shall be, but we know that when our Lord returns, we shall be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. And then all things will be new all over again. Ultimately, new heaven, new earth, and a new relationship throughout eternity with God Almighty and our Savior Jesus Christ.